In biology, proteins are reused in the body for many purposes, sometimes confounding scientists who often work in separated silos. WHYY's Jessica McDonald reports on one researcher who's finding that an immune protein is also active in the brain and might be a key to understanding some causes of autism.
15 years ago, the proteins that Princeton neuroscientist Lisa Boulanger has staked her career on weren't even thought to exist in the brain. They're called MHC proteins, and they're best known to immunologists.
If you open any immunology textbook, the MHC chapter starts by saying it's found in most nucleated cells in the body, except neurons.
In the immune system, MHCs are hot dog bun-shaped proteins that sit on the surface of cells and offer samples of what's inside.
Say your cell is infected with a virus. Some of the proteins that the cell produces are viral proteins. Those get made into hot dogs and presented on the surface as well. And then the immune system is able to come by and check them and say, this hot dog is okay, this hot dog is a virus, kill that cell.
In the brain, MHCs do something completely different.
Weirdly, it's involved in the development of the visual system in mammals, at least in mice, and it's involved in changes in the strength of communication between neurons in a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is a part that's essential for learning and memory.
Mice that lack MHC actually have too many synapses in certain areas of the brain.
If you have 10 synapses where you should have two, you'll have a big problem, potentially, even though bigger brain, more synapses sounds like a great idea. It's actually not.
Boulanger knew that yet another unusual suspect also controlled synapse density, the insulin receptor. In the rest of the body, those receptors help regulate the amount of sugar in the bloodstream. But in neurons, signaling through them increases the number of synapses. It seemed like a long shot, but she wondered if insulin receptors might connect to what MHC was doing in the brain. To find out, postdoc Carolyn Tyler used a drug to block insulin signaling in brain samples from either normal mice or those without MHC.
Because you're working with live tissue, you have to be quick.
Then it was time to count synapses.
Then usually we would load the sample in here, so it's really small. It's size of a little bit larger than the tip of a pencil.
Princeton undergrad Joe Park shows me the electron microscope where he spent dozens of hours snapping pictures of brain slices. Zooming in, synapses come into focus and become countable.
This is something that you see in textbooks when you're doing your training, and then to see it in your own tissue, on the scope, up close, it's really amazing.
Tyler says even most neuroscientists don't ever get a chance to personally see one. To an untrained eye, Boulanger says the black and white images are difficult to decipher.
I think they really stand out, but if you're not used to it, you would look at this picture and say this is a really bad satellite image of a very crowded city.
Park saw that mice without MHC had about 20% more synapses than regular mice. But in those same mice, the brain slices that had been treated with the drug were normal.
When we fixed their insulin signaling using a drug, we fixed their synapse density. So that tells us this is actually the way that MHC is changing the number of synapses in the developing brain.
Boulanger says that might explain why inflammation, which increases MHC levels, might lead to insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes elsewhere in the body. Rutgers neuroscientist and child neurologist Manny DiCicco Bloom says their findings are consistent with an emerging understanding of some types of autism as a failure of the brain to trim its many connections.
Call that pruning. We cut back and we keep the ones that are good and we throw out the ones we don't need.
DiCicco Bloom says the same drug that Boulanger found so effective in mice is also used to treat a disorder called tuberous sclerosis. Caused by a mutation in one of two genes, it's often accompanied by autism. While the drug rapamycin is used in short bursts to stave off tuberous growths in the heart, it might be doing more.
We really probably can't sanction giving children with autism rapamycin, but we can consider, and they've actually done a clinical trial of children who have tuberous sclerosis, to see whether it improves their social function.
Boulanger says the clinical applications are intriguing, but for now are only speculative. On the other end, she's also thinking about what MHC's presence in the brain might mean in terms of evolution.
Very primitive organisms have neurons and synapses, and the adaptive immune system is a relatively new thing. So what if it came from the brain and the immune system borrowed it?
For Boulanger, that prospect offers an exciting possibility, that the secrets she's uncovered about immune proteins in the brain would return the favor and help immunologists find the origins of our immune system. I'm Jessica McDonald, WHYY News.